It's business time. It's business. It's business time. Thanks, Don. It's Extension 720, and it's time for the Download in Chicago Business, a segment we do with some Chicago's great entrepreneurs talking about their stories so we can better understand ours. Bruce Finkelman dropping by the studio. He is one of the guys behind 16 on Center, which is a great restaurant live venue group in Chicago. They do everything from Empty Bottle to Thalia Hall to Dusix. And Donald, I'm not even doing justice. I mean, you could do 40 different places. How many?
Keep going.
How many do you guys own? Or operate.
I don't even know.
You don't even know?
I don't even know.
Well, they're all great establishments here in Chicago, and Bruce Finkelman on Extension 720. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
So when, you know, this is a somewhat of a business segment, so when you are looking at, or listening to me talk and rattle off all these different places and the idea that you don't really know how many you have, was that the intent when you started 16 on Center to bring this massive empire to Chicago?
No. The basic premise of what we wanted to do and the roadmap that we followed was just following what we like to do. I mean, the main mission of our places was to create places we liked with the hopes that others would like them too.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we started Longman and Eagle, it was basically we found ourselves really enjoying bourbon. You know, and then with Dusex, we really enjoyed beer. But the basic idea behind the whole thing was the combination of music, food, and great drinks. If we could pair together those three experiences for people, have those different culinary mm-hmm. and the creatives from both sides to be able to play with each other and create a canvas for it, that was kind of our nirvana.
How did it start?
It started with, I fell in love with music in college and was working in the club scene. And when I came back here, I tried being a regular suit. And it didn't quite work for
me.
Didn't work for me. I opened a little bar called The Empty Bottle, which was on Western Avenue, three blocks from where it now stands. And got excited about it. Got interested. We were part of the community. It was so great being a beacon of that community and have people come there morning, noon, and night that it was a breath of fresh air. It was just wonderful.
For any Chicago music fan, Empty Bottle is synonymous with the culture here. Was that the goal and the intention of Empty Bottle? Was it to be part of this music community that includes places like Metro and Lounge Axe, and or at the time Lounge Axe, but you know, Downline, Vic, in turn?
No, I don't think there were ever any aspects that there was never any goal that we were looking at as like we wanted to be that. What we wanted to be is some place that we wanted to hang out at. And it was the most honest impression of how you could run your business is, look, if I like it, I'm going to promote it myself. And if the people who work for me really like that band, they're going to walk up to people. They're going to be like, you know who's playing tonight? You got to see this band. You got to try this food. That's the natural. That's like the honest approach to it.
For you to love music and sticking with The Empty Bottle, and we'll talk about the other places too, a big part of any music venue is the bands that you book. How do you get the bands to come through and be a part of the Empty Bottle community?
Well, you have a lot of great tastemakers that work and make that place what it is. I mean, a long time ago, I realized that my taste in music wasn't going to be relative for very long.
Right.
And, you know, if I had my choices of booking bands, they might not be the same that were there now. But, you know, I think that's important that the music that we booked there, we realized that not everybody was going to like the music that was playing. But as long as you walked in and you said, okay, I understand why that band's on stage, or I understand what the relativity of them being up on stage, then that was what they were there for.
Yeah.
And those the people that are the talent buyers and who are working on those businesses, they understand that they don't have to book for everybody. They just have to book for themselves and the community that they reside in.
Now, it'd be one thing to have a conversation tonight just about The Empty Bottle. I mean,
we
could do that.
Sure.
The book is here, and I want to talk about the book too, but when did you realize that, okay, it was going to be your career was going to be beyond Empty Bottle? It was going to be about expansion, not just because you can run a bar and you can run a venue, and that's a lot of work.
Right.
The idea to then decide to branch out and open new places to point now over 20 plus places. What was the impetus for doing that?
You know, there really was none. If I told you that there was some roadmap that I had put on a piece of paper and sat in a boardroom and said, this is what we're going to do.
With your old suit.
Exactly. That wasn't the plan.
Right.
The plan was, you know, we got a phone call from from somebody. We got a phone call from Joanna Newsom or somebody, and they said, look, we want to go. We need to play a bigger venue. What can you do? And we would go out and we'd find other venues that we could do, other weird spaces, non-traditional spaces, and be able to try to do them. And I think that that was kind of our growth pattern was, hey, this is cool. You know, we used to do just one show a night. Now we do two shows a night. Now we do three shows a night. But we were bringing up the people that we were working with and the people that were family to us.
Yeah. You know, you made a transition in 16 on Center from music venues to restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, you want all those things involved. But when you think of Longman and Eagle, or you think of Dusik's and some of the other places, it's just food.
Mm-hmm.
At what point do you decide to make one of your new projects one of the three things you talked about, a bar, a restaurant, or a venue?
Well, if you look at most of our places, they're this and that concepts.
Mm-hmm.
All of them have some sort of a food component to it. Empty Bottle has Bite Cafe. Thalia Hall has Dusik's.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Space
yeah.
has Union.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it goes. Promontory's got its food there. The combination of music, food, and drinks. That's what it's all about. That's the community that we want to build. And you can come in first thing in the morning and get some coffee, get something to eat, come back in the afternoon, grab a beer, and then meet folks for dinner. I mean, that's the whole idea.
You have had such success with 16 on Center because a lot of the restaurant groups that you would be competing with or they've spent on a big part of their business downtown or in the West Loop or in emerging neighborhoods. For you to open up in Hyde Park, in Pilsen, to a Ukrainian Village, and down the line, these Chicago neighborhoods, what advantage does it give you? And I would ask the same question on the other side. What disadvantage does it give you?
Well, the advantage is that we live there. You know, when I opened up the Empty Bottle, I lived in Ukrainian Village. You know, I have our bartenders live in Pilsen. You know, the people that work at the establishments live in Hyde Park. And the benefit is that they work there. And they're part of it, and their community. A business survives by being part of the community that it resides in. And without that, to me, it's a failure. So if we create this community, and we have these great places that reside on the corner of these blocks that mm-hmm. we're there. We're watching the place when at night when people are sleeping. We're there. We're your sentry post.
That's right. So what's the disadvantage for you? Is it just space? Like, I mean, because I was think of space in Evanston and Promontory in Hyde Park. And to think of the hours in the day, how do you and your team jump around to make sure quality control and everything else that goes in is you know on the up and up every single day?
Yeah, I have people that have been working for me for 12, 13 years, and they're great people, and they're the ones that make 16 on Center work. I'm just a guy there who likes to break through walls or whatever I need to do, but these are the people that are actually making things work. There's no way without them that's nothing.
Yeah. Bruce Finkelman's my guest tonight. He is one of the owners of 16 on Center, which is all the restaurants and bars and venues we're talking
with
about.
With my lovely partner, Craig Golden.
And Craig Golden. Yes. The book, you have a book, The Empty Bottle, Chicago, 21 plus years of music-friendly dancing. John Dugan was in talking about this with us not too long ago, but we'll also throw that out. We'll take a quick break. Come back and talk more about the business of running these venues with Bruce Finkelman here on Extension 720. Stay with us. It's a download on Chicago Business here on Extension 720. I'm Justin Kaufman. Bruce Finkelman's in studio. He's the man behind 16 on Center with his partner, of course. And, I mean, the list of restaurants, as we talk about Bruce as an entrepreneur in this town, everywhere from Empty Bottle and Bite to Promontory to, I guess, Space in Evanston, which
Revival
is
Food Hall.
Revival Food Hall, which is great. We love that place. Yeah. When you're in the business of trends, that's really what this is, because you're you know, whether it's a trendy band or whether it's a trendy dish or whether it's a trendy drink or whatever, how it is. How do you keep up on that? How do you make sure that Longman and Eagle doesn't go the way of 2 years and you missed the mark?
By being honest to what you're putting out there. I can't follow trends. I'm not good at it, and people who do usually miss the mark pretty well. You just have to follow along with whatever the concept or whatever you're coming up with. I mean, the concept of Longman Eagle was to create an old-style Chicago Inn. And, you know, we had a great chef. Did we ever think we were going to get a Michelin star there? No. That was never the mission there. But
right.
That's what happens. But, I mean, as long as you keep honest to what you're doing, that's the only way that you're successful. Be honest to what you're trying to put out there.
You mentioned Michelin stars, and you guys were in the news because you'll hear when the Michelin crew comes through and they start handing out stars, becomes big news. It rarely becomes news when they take them away. Yeah. But they did that in this case this year with Dusik, which is the great restaurant in Pilsen. It's your restaurant. Mm-hmm. Now, on the surface, you go, oh, geez, man, to lose a Michelin star, that's got to be the harbinger of death, if you will. But you see it as entirely different. It's a good thing.
I see it as a way that, you know, first of all, the chefs and the creatives behind the kitchen, I mean, they were the ones who got the Michelin star. And, you know, so much work that they do. But I think when you're garnered with that wonderful praise and that wonderful award, you sometimes can get stuck in having to do things because of the Michelin star, having to keep food a certain style. And it doesn't allow you to try to change things up, be able to be creative. You get stuck in what you're trying to do. And I think that's one of the downfalls of it. So the idea that, yes, we no longer are Michelin star, you know, 8 years of Michelin star, this will be our first one that we'll go without. But I think it gives the opportunity for the kitchen staff and the bar staff to start looking at creative from the inside and what they want to do and what we want to do together as a group and as a restaurant.
You know, I'm going to have a conversation with Charles Schwab coming up after the 8:30 news. And one of the chapters he has in his book is about risk. Mm-hmm. And he kind of goes into the human nature around risk and what makes a good investment, what doesn't, and how we sort of go towards a light or shy away from it when it comes to risk. When you think of that word and you think of risk and when it comes to 16 on Center, how do you interpret it?
Well, I'll more change that over to when people ask me about risk and what to do. I look at some of these folks that are really good that are working with me, and they'll say, well, you know, what do I do? And I say, well, basically, you could probably bust out about 10 more times before you really have to start thinking about retirement. And I think that's how we've kind of looked at it. Yeah, we're gonna miss the mark sometimes, but we're going to kick back. We're going to get back into it. So, I mean, as long as you keep that in mind when you're thinking about risk, thinking about a project that you're doing. Can I come back from this in case it doesn't go right? That's, I think, what we try to do when we're looking at a project.
You know, the big portfolio that you have, I mean, it's all nightlife. It's all around bars, restaurants, drinks, and you know, you have to have a staff that is around that and works long hours, and that has constantly been an area where there's not. It's kind of like the Wild Wild West when it comes to, you know, just the way that employees are treated. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with the fact that it's not a 9-to-5 place, that people are ending their shifts at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning? It is not your sort of 9-to-5 buttoned up kind of environment.
Well, I think that you have to have good management and you have to have good people. You have to have good people that can follow and put themselves out there with, this is the way I want to be treated. This is the way that I should treat other people, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes there's going to be problems and sometimes you're going to make mistakes, but the only thing you can do is really sit back, try to learn from those mistakes, and try to move forward.
I got two things for you. One, I want to talk about Lincoln Yards. Mm-hmm. You were a part of the crew that of
Civil,
which came together. They're different organizations from Metro and Hideout and you guys and Subterranean coming together to really push back on what Lincoln Yards wanted to do to create this massive development that would have generic music venues in of different sizes.
Creating a city within a city.
When you see that's moving forward, and a lot of the stuff was pulled back for Civil and others saying they're not going to have these kind of venues, but we know how it works in Chicago. Are you still monitoring how that's going? Are you paying attention to what's happening, not just with Lincoln Yards, but with the 78 and with all the massive development that's happening in Chicago?
I mean, that's the great thing. So Civil is Chicago Independent Venue League. And I think the thing that was so great about the formation of that is that now we have an advocate for the independent venues that we have in this great city. I mean, look, the venues are part of the neighborhoods they reside in. That's the real meat and potatoes of the culture that we bring to this city. And to be able to have someone who's advocating for us, that's great. We're constantly looking at what's going on at Lincoln Yards. We're constantly looking at everything else. We're trying to monitor what's going on with the city. You know, the mayor just announced her new music initiative for 2020, and she did it at the Promontory. And we were so honored.
You're the music next year, right?
Yeah, we were so honored to be part of that. But to finally see an administration shine a light on how great of a music scene we have here, but also what kind of monetary value we have to Chicago. It's very important for people to look at it. And I finally think we've got kind of a voice going.
When you, even 10 years ago, 15 years ago, to open up Thalia Hall or to open Promontory, to open up all the different places in different neighborhoods, price point was probably a lot cheaper. You're at Chicago is now, even with this budget today, mm-hmm. it is all about money. And it's, you know, we're trending more towards a San Francisco or LA than say a smaller town like Pittsburgh or Philadelphia. So as a music venue owner, can there be another 16 on Center? I mean, are there going to be opportunities to build independent venues in this town, or is it corporations or get out of the way?
Boy, I sure hope so. I mean, I sure hope that there's an avenue for somebody else who's kind of grown up in the ranks to say, this is what I want to do. I want to add culture to this great city and what's going on. But there are things that need to change. And I think one of the great things with the mayor's new initiative and with Civil is we've got a voice at the table to be able to look at some of these things. You know, city licenses are crazy. You know, you don't know whether you're coming or going with these things. Some of the taxes, some of the laws, they need to make sure that they're a little more standardized. And I think us getting a seat at the table now is going to assist with that happening. And I hope that that paves the way.
My last question for you, just as you have set up shop in Chicago, and we know this to be a great music town and everything about it, but why here? What was it about when you set up and said, I want to build these restaurants and these venues? What was it about Chicago that made you want to invest here and be an entrepreneur in the city?
It's the best city in the world. I'm from here. I grew up here. Hope I'll die here, somewhere near here. But I mean, I know the city. We know the city. And for us to go into another city and look at what's going on there and try to suppose we know what's up would be disingenuous. Mm-hmm.
Bruce Finkelman is the one of the co-owners of 16 on Center, the restaurant group here in Chicago that has places like Empty Bottle and Promontory and Thalia Hall and Space and all the way down the list. You can find their stuff online. Also, the Empty Bottle, 21 plus years of music-friendly dancing, which is edited by John Dugan, is out now. Bruce, great to have you back. Good to talk to you. And continued success with 16 on Center.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.